Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, people. Good evening. Good evening. Good evening to all.
What's poppin'? What is poppin'? What's the guan? What's the guan, sire?
Everything good. Everything blessed, dear boss. Yes, you know.
Yeah, man. Yeah, listen. Before we get underway, man, I gotta definitely salute all my cancers. That's this has been a heavy month for the cancers. You know, a lot of birthdays.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, this is your guy's birthday month. So happy birthday to all you cancers and to Brother B, whose birthday had just passed.
Oh, you know what? You're disgusting.
No,
you gonna
no,
take my birthday
no, your birthday's coming.
You know what?
Your birthday's coming up. I'm sorry.
For a little over 25 years. 25
Look, man,
years,
I'm sorry. I'm bad with birthdays, okay? Jeez. Brother Dre's birthday just passed, and yours is coming up by what? 16th, right?
Yeah. I ain't even gonna say nothing. Oh, you got it right.
Thank you.
You know, my daughter had to do a countdown backwards and forwards.
That was almost a physical challenge come up there. But yeah, go ahead, brother.
Exactly.
Salute to you, cancer.
Besides the cancer part, I also got to give a quick mention on this Trayvon Martin thing. I mean, listen, I'm not keeping up with the whole trial because to me, I just find the whole thing disgusting. Black, white, indifferent, whatever, it doesn't matter. Somebody's child was killed. 17-year-old was killed by somebody who's a wannabe cop and really has no respect for life or the law. I'm just praying that no matter what the verdict is, people just keep it together. Because it's cases like this where tension, especially racial tensions, run high. And some people start to take things
to the extreme.
To the extreme and blow things out of proportion. And we need to realize and recognize that, no matter what you say about the system or what the system says about itself, it is what it is. You know, at the end of the day and at the start of the day, God is the ultimate judge. And his punishment will be far, far harsher. It may not come today. It may not come next week. But trust me,
what
goes around comes around. Yeah, and God don't sleep. The Most High don't sleep. Best believe that. You know, that boy is 17 years old. As much as they want to try to villainize him, that boy is dead. He can't speak for himself.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? And it's just very disgusting how people are coming out their mouth saying all types of stuff about, you know, this kid and he's dead. I don't hear nobody talking junk about Zimmerman. I mean, to me, Zimmerman's a punk. Simple and plain. He's a straight up and down wannabe cop, whatever punk. Because
he
couldn't find somebody his own size or his own age to mess with. So he go mess with a 17-year-old. So he's a punk. He's definitely a punk, man. And he damn sure ain't a fighter. Because he felt the need to use a gun to shoot the kid.
We know that. We definitely know he's no fighter.
Yeah, he's a wuss. He's definitely a wuss. But, some people want to think it is justice. There's no justice in following somebody because they had a hood on and getting into a scrap with them and then shooting them. Right?
Yeah, all you got to do is put their shoes on the other foot. Let somebody follow you, okay? Let somebody follow you home and think and have suspicions about you. Okay? You go into a store and let somebody have suspicions about you. See how you
but
like
you know what? But you know what? You have some ignorant person say, well, I don't go places like that. Well, I don't do stuff like that. Like, you see, you know what? You always, that's the whole thing. There's always going to be some level of ignorance out there in the air, no matter what you do or how it goes. It's always going to be ignorant people. That's just...
Go to your Hessian supermarket, the local store, and you get followed around just by one person. See how you like it.
They wouldn't.
You're a liar. Liar.
Most definitely.
Liar.
So, before we get into the topic of tonight, 646-378-1882 is the call-in number. That is 646-378-1882. And tonight's topic, the sacrifice.
Whoa.
Listen. I wanna big up salute all the people that have laid down their lives, all the soldiers that have laid down their lives and made that ultimate sacrifice for freedom or in the name of freedom and for their family and others and for the name of their country. I want to send a big salute to all active, non-active, retired, reserve, military, man. Like,
thank you, bro. You've been in it for
strong. Like, you 18 years in this game.
18 years. Still going, baby.
18 years hard up in there, bro. I mean, and that's definitely what's up. And, you know, once again,
half the retirement.
Yeah, man. What you gonna do after retirement?
I'm going to Disney World.
Sounds good.
I hope I get some money for that Disney. A $2,000 would do it for the just nice. You know, you can have me $1,000, and we good. You don't have to pay millions to somebody just say I'm going to Disney World. Me, local dude, the military man, the man with the plane. I'm going to Disney World. $1,000, I'm good.
Yeah, okay. Man, listen, the way you eat, you probably can do $1,000.
Two lifetime Disney pass. Let's not get it twisted now. Yeah, go ahead, bro. I give you, thank you for that shout out to the armed forces, man, because what we do and what they do when it's time for when the stuff rolls down, it rolls down. And a lot of people will never know what we go through. You'll never know. I mean, you might have an understanding, you could sympathize, but if you ever get in those shoes, it's very few shoes that people can walk. It's not easy. It's not easy to just leave your family for 6 months not knowing if you're going to come back home. That's not easy. Especially upon what type of job you do. You know, it's not easy. It's not for the faint of heart. Not for that person that's, you know, ready to quit and run. You know, it takes a certain caliber of a person to handle that. And for the family members and friends that give support to that military man. Not easy for anybody.
Nah, it's not. I mean, like, after my pops died, like, I was just so gung-ho to, like, to join the Marines. Just, like, I just needed to get away. And I just, you know what I'm saying? I just saw it, you know, I wasn't even thinking about the country for honor and country aspect of it. I was just looking to just go away and go to the most roughest faction, you know, of a branch of the military and just become a beast. That's what I was looking for. But, of course, asthma shut all that down for me.
Yeah.
Like, remember that recruiter on 42nd Street?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I went there. And
wow.
This dude, one of the recruiters, he had this good-looking chick outside trying to tempt me and my boy to fill out some paperwork. So we went in there, and, yeah, I was ready to bounce. I asked the dude, I said, yo, how soon could I leave? And he was like, yo, you know, have you gone within a couple of weeks? You know, you got to take some more paperwork, pass the physical. So, yo, he asked me that question. He said, do you have any physical ailments? I said, yeah, I'm asthmatic. He looked at me and, yo, he tore my paperwork up right in front of me, crushed me.
Wow, that's a blow,
yeah.
Bro.
Right in front of me.
He didn't have to do that, man.
Even the chick didn't even look at me no more. She just like, oh, well. I was like, yo, have you said, because you got to go through a gas chamber. He said, during basic training, you got to go through gas. He said, you wouldn't make it.
Wow.
He said, you wouldn't make it. I was like, yeah, okay, I went and got a 40 and cried. You asked my man Troy. I went and got a 40 ounce and just cried, kid. Like, I was crushed.
You gotta crush anybody, man. Here you have your hopes, your dreams of going into the military. You probably told some family, some friends that you're going in, and for this man,
that's probably literally ripped your life up. Remember back in the story, I had the big poster of the Marines?
Yeah.
Remember back in the story? In my room, I had the big poster of the Marines.
Yeah, you did, didn't you?
Oh, man. Yep. I was like, yo, I'm out. Crushed me, kid. Made me feel like a pretzel under somebody's shoe. Like, I was, yo.
Yeah. That's not an easy thing to handle, man. You know,
it really isn't. But yo, let's get into it. I really want to know, because I don't know if I ever really asked. And maybe I think we had probably had this conversation like 18 to 19 years ago. But what is it that made you join the Navy?
The thing that made me join the Navy was I knew that I was, you know, coming to a point in my life where I needed to do something, I felt, for myself to get, like, some type of trade, but I also wanted to see the world. I wanted to travel. I wanted to get a career in my hands that I know would carry me for the rest of my life.
True.
You know, and plus I guess I needed to grow a little bit also, because I was under mom's roof, you know, and I was like, I wouldn't say I was sheltered, but I had everything I needed, but I felt I needed to do something for myself. As a man, as coming into manhood, I needed to own up to my own responsibility and not have nobody else be responsible for me. So I said the quickest way was to do that was join the military, because right off the bat, boom, you're on your own and nobody can save you. You know, once you sign those papers talking about that you're going active, yo, you win. You know, moms can't come there and help you. You know, when you want to, you know, talk to, you know, your brother, your sister, your mom, you could make a phone call, but it's not every night. Well, not back in the 90s anyway. It was like, yo, you go make a phone call once a week. while you going through boot camping, and you was lucky to get that, or maybe twice a week. So, but that's what made me join, man. You know, I wanted to get a trade. I wanted to become somebody. I wanted to be something. I wanted to know that I could uphold my own, not somebody holding something up for me. And besides, man, we grew up in the projects, yo. You know the stats on us, kid.
Yeah, especially around that time.
Yeah, I wanted to be, you know, one of the few that wasn't going down that path of winding up dead or in jail or just a bum. You know, I mean, I didn't want that. And at the time, you know, I had a girlfriend or lady living at the house, like it was all good, you know. So I'm just like, now we gotta change this. I mean, this is all nice and cute, you know. I'm comfortable. I ain't gotta worry about nothing. I had everything I want, but it was about me doing for me and do what I needed to do also for her, you know. So I did what I had to do. I had to man up.
True. I mean, my thing is, like, you know, I heard a lot of people, well, I read a lot of stories about how people say, oh, you know, like, let's, for example, after 9/11, like, the enlistment, like, went through the roof. Like,
went up. Oh, yeah, I mean,
so,
joining
the military.
I'm going to tell you what, that's one of the most patriotic things that anybody can ever do in a situation like that. Like, it's like they said, what can I do to help? How can I get back? And these cats joined the military. That was a you saw the good that came out of that. Even though it was bad, but you saw the good. People were willing to take up arms for their country. And I even met people, you know, they said 9/11 changed my life because that's why I joined the military. I mean, I talked with them face to face. And just to hear them, hear their story and where they was at on 9/11 and how they came into the service, it'll move you, bro. It will really move you. You
but
know?
My only issue with that is, like, how could you just, first of all, before you do something like that, why would you not, like, try to see what's going on first before you just
first of all, let me tell you
something like that.
Let me tell you something. Once 9/11 happened and it was established that it was a terrorist attack, oh, cats was living. And cats wanted payback for what they did to our country. Cats wanted paybacks. So they wasn't thinking about, you know, well, I got this job or I had this line. They dropped everything. They was like, yo, I got to do this. I have to do this. I have to be a part of this.
But my problem was.
You know, and to the men and women that, you know, that sacrificed their lives, you know, to their families, you know, I honor them, and I just want to say, you know, to you, thank you for what your family members have done, because it has not, hopefully for you, it has not been in vain. Because
I mean,
because the fight still goes on to this day. There's a lot of things that do go on that a lot of people just really don't know about, you know, and we're just going to keep it like that.
Okay, secret squirrel. But my thing is, my issue was.
Yes, I just gotta say, yeah. If you guys have just heard a little voice there, that was my daughter. Love and peace to my daughter.
Lily.
Love that little girl.
Lily. My whole issue was just kind of like, I guess, like the whole, And forgive, you know, forgive me. Like, I'm not trying to offend anybody or say anything wrong, but it's just like it was a hype that was built. You know what I'm saying? Like, around the 9/11, like, and getting people to just enlist in the joint and to fight, you know what I'm saying, an enemy that we weren't even sure of at the time. Like, you know, it was a lot of finger pointing. Hold on. Got a caller. 2914, you are on the air.
Hey, good evening, brothers. Good evening. I was having a little bit of difficulties listening online, so I figured I'd call in so I could...
It's Mo.
What's up, brothers? Brother B, brother L. Good evening.
Well, what's good? What's good, baby? How you feeling, man?
I'm feeling good, and I like the topic because, you know, it's a good one tonight, and I've been missing out on y'all the last couple of go-rounds, so I had to definitely, you know, chime in.
No doubt. You always welcome, brother. You always welcome. I mean, I was just telling Brother L, like, I didn't really appreciate too much of the hype that was built. Like, all right, we all know 9/11 was a very terrible thing. I don't, I used to work in...
Down there, right?
At Windows on the World. I used to work in the World Trade Center. I used to work at Windows on the World on the 106th, 107th floor. My thing is the hype that was just built around it, and then people started enlisting. My thing is, like, what were you enlisting for? Were you enlisting to get at this enemy that people were pointing fingers at? Because no one was really sure who did what.
Yes, people did.
But I think the whole thing is, look at it now. Look at the situation now.
It
not only got worse, but you sent a lot of people overseas to die for... my thing is this.
For like a revenge, right? It seemed like it was more like a revenge.
Yeah, it was like a revenge, but the whole thing is revenge.
Well, basically, in a sense, it kind of
was.
So we wanted to go get the attacker.
Go ahead. Y'all gonna do odds and even says shoot.
All right, go ahead, bro.
I mean,
from my perspective, real quick, just a minute, is that like I come from a very deep military background, and my dad, you know, explained to me it's my choice at the time of my age to enlist or not, but his feeling towards it was he didn't really want me to.
Okay.
Because the changing over the years, it wasn't really defending your country no more, because there's a secret agenda behind all of this military action. It's sad that I was, you know what I mean, presented with a choice under these circumstances to defend my country, and my choice was to stay here. If it ever happened here, I'm here to defend it.
Okay.
You know, and my brothers and sisters that are overseas, my nephew's in the Marines. He just came back from Afghanistan. It's ongoing. It's terrible because, you know, we're trying to, you know, liberate certain type of people, and then there's a lot of people that don't want that. They don't want that democracy type of lifestyle. They don't want to live in a government-controlled type of environment. But then again, a lot of people didn't need it and want it. So it's a tough call, but... The day after 9/11, we saw more American flags throughout the country than we did in like 50 years.
True.
And they were all made in China.
Whoa, oof.
You know what I mean? Nobody was supporting American-made flags anymore, because going back, you know what I mean, 50 years ago, that was the rule. Like, if you're going to represent for your country and buy an American flag, you was going to buy a flag made in Brooklyn. You know, so we kind of lost the perspective of how are we representing our country when we make these choices to send our young brothers and sisters overseas. And like you said, Brother L, you did it for a reason to better yourself, which is a good option, because, you know, you get to see a lot, you learn a trade, you know, but a lot of brothers now and sisters now are being trapped into that option and getting put in harm's way.
You are absolutely right. You know,
for somebody else's ideals and ideologies.
I had a friend I met in Virginia from Far Rockaway, and he was on the Navy vessel that was sitting off the coast of Long Island going back like 10, 13 years ago or something like that. Actually, it was a little before 9/11, and they actually accidentally shot a plane down, and, you know, they were all drilled to not know about what happened. And it's still an ongoing investigation to this day.
You know what?
It was a military accident, but, you know, 100-some people were killed.
Right. That one, I think we better just leave that one alone for right now. For we don't want to get ourselves in trouble.
Secret squirrel on the phone.
We're going to leave that one alone for right now.
We're going to leave that one alone, but, you know.
Listen, this is the deal. My thing is this. We're sending people off to war. To war for what? Because all right, if you were talking about most of the hijackers were from Saudi Arabia, what was the purpose of going over to Iraq? You know what I'm saying? My thing is this. Like I said, it was a whole bunch of finger pointing and a whole bunch of propaganda. Like, listen, I don't care if it's white, black, Indian, Asian, whatever. Everybody's life means something.
Yes.
And when you want to use people as pawns, because basically that's what, you know what I'm saying, it kind of is. It's like you got two old men fighting, and it's like, well, I'm not going to physically fight you, so I'm going to get my military to jump on your military, and then they're just going to fight it out. And it's like, yeah, you know, that doesn't make any sense. Like, if you're going to fight for something that means something.
Oh, yeah, I got what you're saying.
I ain't expecting you to answer. You stay out of this. This will be between me and Mark. You can just sit back.
You're making it hard for me right now, bro. You know that.
Huh?
I mean, you're making it very hard for me right now. You know that.
No. See, that's the thing. Your beliefs and how you feel has nothing to do with me and has nothing to do with Mo. And how I feel and how Mo feels has nothing to do with you. Because once again, I started this conversation saying that, hey, if I still had the opportunity, I would join the Marines. If I still had the opportunity to, but I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole thing is this. Like I said, listen, if I know you're an asshole, like if you're my best friend, but I know you're an asshole, hey, listen, I'm just going to have to deal with it. And that's that, because that's our friendship. So just
right.
Like we all know the government does shiesty shit, hey, it's our government. We just got to deal with it. And that's just what it is.
Yeah, but those are elected.
Our government. It's all over the place. So
those are elected officials that we put there to make decisions for us. And we're not anymore on that know what's going on level, because they're doing things without our knowledge.
Yeah.
So like they passed the law taking away some rights to the 1965 Voters Act, and then the next day they added laws into gay marriages. They advertised it on the news all about the gay stuff, but they never advertised about the right to vote.
Vote. Yeah.
5776, you're on the air.
Oh, good evening, everybody.
Oh yes, it's Master P. What's up?
Brother P, how we doing? Good evening there, brother. Good evening.
We got the army in the house. We salute you, brother.
That's what's up.
Thank you.
Yeah, brother P, I'm pretty sure that you've heard what's been going on right now, what we're talking about, what the topic is.
Yeah.
Brother L is scared that he's going to go.
I'm scared. I'm not going to say that. I mean, but.
We're not saying anything negative either.
Well, there's a certain level that I'm not willing to go. There's certain things I'm not gonna be saying.
But dude, I wasn't expecting you to say anything. I wasn't expecting you to say, listen, Secret Squirrel, listen, keep your nuts to yourself. Okay? you know what I'm saying? Like I said, this is just the overall general conversation, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, yo, once again,
I love the fact that, like, you know, when the American military shows up and they liberate people and they bring food and they do things that, you know, that's the honest, that's the honest, good American. That's what we stand for.
Yes.
Yeah. No
you
doubt.
Know, but when we get, you know, 100 men put together and they're not even called, you know, they call like what do they call it? They call it there's a word for it. Oh, a company. You know, that's like a company now, and they have a mission, and their mission is to do something that is tied into an oil business or a profit. That's where the problem is, and somebody got to oversee these things because we're not supposed to.
See, that's not honorable because it's not honorable.
It's not honorable, it wasn't built upon that.
Yeah,
And
you be quiet, keep your nuts to yourself.
Somehow. You know, there's a lot of politicians that get shut up, you know what I mean, in the House of Representatives because they speak like that. And there's more there that don't want to hear that because they're profiting off of these things that they're doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I don't think our military.
You have a lot of these politicians that are tied into these
deals.
Oil companies or these other companies that are overseas that are in, like, somewhat hostile countries. So you got a lot of play back and forth where they trying to open this door or open this or make this deal or make that deal. You know, that.
Yeah, because they're not really caring about the people.
That's my thing. You're not even caring about the soldiers.
We went into Kuwait.
A lot of them, those politicians have never been in a military uniform.
Right.
They don't know what it is
and
to wear that.
They won't even send their children.
Which is wrong.
We found that out with Fahrenheit 9/11. We found that out. You know what I'm saying? Michael Moore exposed a lot of them.
Absolutely.
And they won't send their kids. They won't send none of their kids over there.
For that. The military is to be used for defense and to be used for those that cannot defend themselves.
Like, we went into Kuwait and liberated Kuwait and stopped Saddam Hussein from taking over the country, but we're not even allowed in Kuwait no more.
I would not say that we're not allowed in Kuwait anymore. I'm not going to say that.
I mean,
well, listen, you came here, did what you had to do, now bounce. That's what it
is. That's what they said, because they know if they let the powers that be stick around, they're going to start doing other things.
McDonald's. There's going to be a McDonald's and Wendy's on every corner.
And a gas station. A BP.
Yeah, and a gas station. Yeah, exactly.
Like, remember when that
was
Well, BP is not American anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and when
it's British.
Yeah,
British petroleum.
So.
But when they damage that pipeline in the Gulf, we're the ones that had to fix the problem. That became our disaster.
Our people are not expendable, and I'm tired of our American people, our assets, our soldiers being used as expendable commodities for the purpose of business.
The purpose of business, and the soldiers are starting to be to be hated in the countries now because of
which endangers their lives even more so.
Now,
exactly. Yeah, you know about stuff like that.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
You ain't listening, man. What's with you?
I didn't hear the last one. I'm sorry.
About, like, being places where you're not liked. You're being overseas and you're in an area you're supposed to be there to help, but at the same time, the people are not really liking you because you're in their area.
I'm going to tell you what, I mean, I have experienced that, you know, and it's not fun.
Going back to what you said, Brother B, about you would enlist, you would serve right now if you was able to. I want to know, like, what is the true reason why a 30-year-old man cannot enlist and join the Navy, the Marines? Is it because a 30-year-old man is mature enough to understand what is really going on? Like an 18, 19-year-old is not really able to figure out things and they're just following directions? Is that what it is?
Who says a 30-year-old man can't join the Navy?
Don't they have age limits?
It's higher. The age limit is higher than that. It's not.
I mean, it is higher.
Someone maybe 35.
I believe.
I believe 35 or 40 might be the cutoff. I'm not exactly too sure because I know when I went to boot camp, we had some 30-year-olds in there. And me, I was in my early 20s, and I was like, man, you got old.
Okay.
But everybody goes in for a different reason. You know, some people, they want to better their lives.
Right.
Some people just wanted to, you know, get away. Some people wanted to, you know, see what was out there. See, like they never, like some people, like literally never been outside of their hometown. So they wanted to see the world. They joined the Navy.
I wanted to acquire some special skills.
Let me ask you, brothers, why they haven't incorporated the detention center into the military? So brothers that are sitting in prison for 25, 30 years on tax dollars, paying for them, why they don't institute them into the military and train them to go overseas?
It can't be.
You know what? I'm gonna tell you.
But we trust militants to go against their own government. You know what I mean? We trained the Taliban to fight in Afghanistan against the Russians.
No, they took all the knowledge and training.
But we're doing it now too. We're training Iraq soldiers to defend the country and things like that. So we're teaching, you know what I mean, other cultures, and then they're using it against us eventually too.
Yeah, but you know what? All right, but you got, there's the criminal element in it. Because who's really going to, all right, if you got a guy that's doing 15 years for like sticking up a liquor store, are you really going to put a gun in his hand?
Yeah, that's the way they look at it. You're right, but if he's been in jail for 20 years, and for the last 15 years he's been, you know, worshiping God, and he's been trying his hardest to do everything right, why can't he get a chance? That's what it's for, though, right?
And the thing is, America, for the most part, it's the whole idea is that you have people on the front lines that want to be there. You know what I'm saying? So it would kind of look bad if it's that we're forcing inmates, you know what I'm saying, to go out there and fight versus America is supposed to be this strong nation with, you know, we're so prideful and everything. Guys that just want to stand up and die for our country versus the other idea which you're talking about, sending inmates, you know what I mean, to go over there and die. It's kind of a different, it's projecting a different image of America that I don't think, you know,
I can understand that, but if it really gets bad, pull the good ones out and send them all in. I mean, I wouldn't want to sacrifice the lives of these young men and women that really care for the country, you know what I mean, when it gets really bad, because, you know, at this point in time, technology is ruling and the bombs are taking over anyway.
You're right. Man is getting taken out to fight more and more.
Yeah,
exactly. Soon, what's the purpose of putting a man on the ground where you can just put a little robot and some explosives?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can just put a little drone out there to drop something.
That doesn't happen. But in some of those cases, you're potentially saving a man's life by doing that, by putting a robot in that position.
You gotta
look at the pros also in that aspect. You know, I mean, you gotta send robots in to certain hostile places where you are, you know, saving a man. Whether it's to, deactivate a bomb, look into like some nuclear waste hazard. You know, you could be saving life right there. So, I mean, in those aspects, I'm for it.
Mm-hmm.
Send in the robot. If a robot could take out a tank faster than, you know, a man tank, and you know, less harm to those people, fine, so be it.
I mean, all right, my thing is this. So
it's so much fixing that needs to go on in our own country, though.
Okay.
I mean, but listen, you got soldiers out there that are fighting with different beliefs. But you got a lot of people out in the military that are fighting, and their beliefs are just like they're not really believing anymore of what they're fighting for.
Because they lost you about that. They lost track of it.
That's the thing, though. You know, But that's the thing, though. Yeah, I'm sure it has a lot to do as far as, you know, when you think of morale and everything. But at the end of the day, yes, it matters to know what you're fighting for, but then it don't because this is your country. Like, one of the things that used to irritate me when people used to say, I don't even know why you went to Iraq. First of all, I didn't have a choice. Second of all, it's my country. I felt that I didn't even need them this time. All I
I like your point.
To be at the country's disposal, you know, and if need be, I was willing to die for that. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't need to ask any questions.
I respect that. See, I think that's where the problem is. I think that our country ain't supporting our military men and women enough. So they feel good while they're over there. Mm-hmm. Regardless, like you said, regardless of what they're doing it for a purpose of serving their country. So I believe we automatically should have to support them. But that means let's find out exactly what we're fighting for and make sure that that's the right.
But the thing is, there's a big misconception that, you know what I'm saying, because we're in the military, we actually know, you know, like we have a heads up on what's going on. You know what I'm saying? Maybe other people, but me, no. I mean, I was in the infantry, so I don't know what everybody else's job was. But for the most part, when you go on a mission or you go do something, you're only told what your job entails and part of the mission, you know what I'm saying? As far as the whole overall scope of things, that's something for the higher up.
You're told stuff on a need-to-know basis.
Yeah,
you're told things on a need-to-know basis, that's all.
Right.
And like I said,
That's cool, but back home, it should be clear that we know exactly what is going on. Like, it's classified in our own country. It's classified to people that vote these people into the positions to make this plan. And what their choice is to do is we should have the right to know in this country. Not overseas when you're actually in there, but here at home, we should know.
You know,
like if I was a parent, you know that.
Sometimes you're not gonna know the full gist of the mission until it's completed,
Brothers, but I have to disagree. First of all, media should not play a part of the military at all.
Of course,
now, let me put yourself on that
business.
One.
Because well, that's like that part, it jeopardizes the lives. It jeopardizes the lives of soldiers out there.
Don't you remember that happened with Geraldo? Geraldo did that. He was over there. He found out something was going on, and he started reporting on it. And it jeopardized the mission. That's why he got in all kinds of trouble.
I'm going to tell you right now.
He almost went to jail.
The media needs to stay out of certain things when it comes to the military.
Everything is not a sensational story. Everything is not a sensational story that something should be, a movie should be made out of, or some type of action
movie or something like that.
Like
the first Gulf War was the beginning of mega media profit.
Because while they were on the beach, they were coming ashore, you saw a cameraman filming. I'm like, wow, really?
I have in my closet a set of Desert Storm baseball cards. Baseball cards. They were making baseball cards with all the different fighter jets and all the different, you know what I mean? And straight up collecting baseball cards. You know what I mean? Like, that's how media... That's how much it went. It went to making collectible items.
Yeah, the media need to. I feel the media really.
You know, and once they realized that, eventually it was going to be a part where it came to this, where once it started, it was basically seeming like it's never going to stop. Because we're at no end with these wars. You know what I mean? I mean, all over the world, there's civil wars going on, you know, and it seems like it's just part of life. And you need to democratize these countries to get some sort of level of decent sanitary conditions.
You know as very much as well as I do, that is a very hard thing to do when you're dealing with another culture that's entirely different from U.S. culture.
It's right.
Hard. It's very hard to do that when they have their own different types of beliefs. That's hard.
Very hard. And there's different reasons why we want to do that, too, because there's a secret agenda, which we know that they want to try to, you know, hurt that culture because they don't want that culture being any, you know, any more dominant than they are. But,
yeah,
there's the real, you know, the radical.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And then you have the decent cultures that just want to live off the land.
Right.
They want to be sovereign. They do not want to engage in any type of, you know, forced to do anything.
Right.
And, you know, you got the ones that are trying to take over the weak people and, you know, and control one family controlling an entire country.
Yeah. I mean, so, let's take Iraq, for instance. Now, Iraq, you had all these different warlords, and they controlled either a part of Iraq or, like, a town. And one town could be totally different from another town. Just like even here, when you go to another city, it's different. But over there, it was extreme. Like, they had different rules, different, it was a whole different thing.
It was like
gang
terms.
It's like a gang. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, the way how Saddam ruled was through severe force and fear, because he was just trying to just, to me, he just trying to just hold that country any way that he could.
What business of that was ours?
Well, the business of it is that the world is getting smaller because of population. So eventually, we got to expand from this country and make the whole world like ours.
Yeah.
That's the whole objective, known as the
top country and the problem solvers. And so even though it has nothing to do with us, we always try to make it our business to go and help other countries, even though we need to help ourselves.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, you know, they had to stop Hitler. We had to get involved to stop Hitler because, you know, he was taking over every country in Europe, and, you know, what are we going to do? You know what I mean?
We didn't think that the West was going to do anything, you know? He kept
Saddam was trying to go that route, you know what I mean? He started taking over all these countries.
Kuwait.
And we was like, all right, we got to put it, you know, we got to stop this. You know what I mean? I wish we would have took care of it then so the Bush administration wouldn't have got this far into it and this became the business.
We're sacrificing our
own country is being sacrificed because, you know, brothers, it's going to be on us soon. And you know, our children, we're going to be getting bombed and we're going to be getting all tight. It's going to be happening right here because that's where we got to start now. Where we're sacrificing. We're going to defend this country for real, when it really, you know, let's support our brothers and sisters overseas all over trying to bring this to volume down.
Well, first of all, I think that our military is just spread too thin across the globe, period. I just think that our military, like, are really just all over the place. And you need to reel them back.
It goes like this, bro.
Like,
we're doing more with less people.
We got several hundred thousand out there.
We're doing more with less.
But the whole thing is, what's the purpose? But still, what is their function? What is their what is the primary function? Because my whole thing is...
Primary function of what?
Well, they're keeping the peace in Korea. In Korea, we're at the border. We've been at the border there station for 30 years or whatever it is, keeping the peace. We got like 40.
We are a deterrent and a defense.
It's probably like 40,000 soldiers or 80,000 soldiers stationed around that area.
But how much of a deterrent and a defense can you be when you're spread so thin?
A very effective one. If you have
the people in strategic places and logistics.
Satellites. They got the technology.
Okay. I'm just going to leave it like that, and I'm leaving it right there.
Well, I just see it like this.
So far so good, because nobody's running up in this country like that, like another army or military coming over here taking over. That hasn't happened.
We're not gonna let that happen.
Terrorism is a whole different game from like routine warfare, let's say. Terrorism is totally different because the rules on terrorism, they don't have no rules. All they want to do is achieve their agenda, whether it's blowing something up, you know,
I really think they've evolved. It's all about intellectual terrorism now. You kill 5,000 people, it doesn't mean anything.
There's so many different levels to terrorism. It's, you know.
Which one nets control?
Whichever one is the more effective of the day.
Killing 5,000 people are not really going to control. Going to get control with, but an economic collapse. Then you got everybody.
It will have. Sometimes it's not even about control. It's just about the effect.
I need to see the guy that's willing to kill himself to kill you.
And sometimes, that's what it is. It's just the cause and effect.
What'd you say, Pete?
You know, it's different when you have to engage in somebody that's willing to take his own life in order to kill you. You know what I'm saying? You can't beat the person
that's willing to take themselves out for their cause. You can't beat them because they're willing to make the ultimate sacrifice. And they'll spill their guts. The guts of whoever.
I'm not gonna.
Yeah, just imagine if a billion Chinese guys got into a billion Chinese little planes and just came flying over here to just hit every part of this country. Yeah, I mean, they get willing to crash into it.
That kamikaze that was used in Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
When it was doing the whole kamikaze thing, they were just flying their planes and stuff. I mean. My thing is this.
I wouldn't ask you. Yeah.
So that's what we're doing now. We're making sure that we're ready for anything.
Well, we got to be ready on all fronts.
I don't doubt that. But that's my thing. We have too many. I think we just have too many of our own personal assets out there. And when I say our own personal assets, like our own fellow Americans.
The face of war has changed.
It makes you just want to say, like, yo, can they just say, like, all right, let's just bring everybody home for 1 week and see what happens.
But my thing is, you said the face of war has changed. That's the thing. War never had a face. The only thing that comes with war is blood. It's blood. That's it.
No, war has
there
things.
Is nothing nice. There's nothing war nice about
it. War has face. It does. You just look
it's
at
the face of the person
there's
that
the
they put on
war.
The news that night.
That sounds like next week's topic.
Okay. Many faces, bro.
Does war have a face?
War has many faces.
The sacrifice of
We just
the
have sacri- to
the sacrifice have a face.
Who would take on all those faces as a country and as a whole?
I had a quick question.
Go ahead.
In some countries, I think maybe like China, they have a thing where you have to do a. I forgot what country. Maybe China, but you have to do a mandatory 2 years. A mandatory 2 years in the military. I forgot what country does that.
There are a few countries that do that. You know, I'm really not sure what countries they are, but there are countries that do that. Where I think North Korea is probably one of them.
But, I mean, if we were to do that here, I think it would be, it would make things a little bit better.
I think we would be winning
the game.
We'd be strong.
I think so, because it would give people the opportunity to go into different type of trades that they didn't have before. It opens up the door to opportunity, you know.
I think it'll take some of these boys and turn them into men, and take some of these chicks and turn them into women. Like,
would.
You know what I'm saying? They'll learn something. They'll get something out of it, something that they can carry
absolutely
with them for the rest of their life.
I believe because the sacrifice that we have made in this country, all the young men and women here, and I believe that they all should, they should institute what's called like the American tax on anyone that's come into this country from the last, like say from now going forward, they got to pay what's called the American tax, and that money goes straight to just Americans. You know what I'm saying? For whatever they need. For real.
I mean,
because,
me,
you know,
listen, my attitude, I don't think people in the service are American now.
You know what I mean? I know it's the great land of opportunity, but yo, our brothers and sisters really sacrifice. You know what I'm saying? Really have sacrificed. They put in their work. You know what I mean? My brother, Brandon, you know Brandon, brother B, you know Brandon from Virginia, my boy. His dad just passed away a month after his retirement for 35 years from the Marines.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? And he lived in North Carolina, you know what I'm saying? And he served the Gulf Wars, and he was a great man, you know what I mean? And he sacrificed his life, and everybody should know that. You know, he got Purple Hearts and everything, and I think all them people need to be recognized by the, you know, more in this country to people that come here as foreigners. They need to have to respect this country.
But you know what my problem is?
I got foreign people that work on my job that is like stick, like poking me all day about, oh, this country's going down, you know, it's no good.
You know what,
like,
I tell those people?
What you came here for? Like, I got to sacrifice.
Exactly.
I got to sacrifice my freedom today to bust you upside the head for saying something like that. I'm going to go to jail, lose my freedom.
Well, how about you make each family?
And I'm sorry, I got all crazy with y'all, but you know what I'm saying? This is real.
One person out their family, you know, out of the people that come here, one person out of your family has to join the armed forces.
Then they probably wouldn't come. Because the whole thing is a lot of people feel that this is not my country to fight for. I just come here to make money and send it back home.
Oh, you know what?
Yeah.
But that's the whole thing, it's not about just coming here for our benefits. It's realizing that these benefits came because people have sacrificed.
Yeah.
People aren't thinking about the benefits. You know what I'm saying?
People coming in this country from Russia coming because then our parents that worked for 20 years of driving. And we ain't got shit. We joined in the military because we looking for an opportunity. You know what I'm saying? And they come in here and they just got schemes. They're selling gold. They're doing this. They got connections with this. And they're working with big banks. And they're doing this. And they're getting loans. Like, you know what I mean? Like, look at those donuts.
That's my problem.
How is it that a person
from the military or someone just coming home doesn't get the same opportunity as someone else out here in the street or somebody who just came to this country? There are people coming home with not getting jobs. I have an issue with that.
It's called foreign exchange. Military people come home and they're not being provided with certain services.
It's called foreign exchange,
my brother. We got to make sure that we let that country know that we're taking care of their people because the business is going on right now.
But we're not taking care of
them. There's a lot of elected officials out there that's been going against the grain for quite a few years now.
Mm.
Somebody need to drop down and open that up. Somebody need to sacrifice themselves. Somebody might have to step up to the plate. Somebody had to get killed out here going up there and talking. You know what I mean? We need another Martin Luther King.
Oh, well, good luck on that one.
You know what I feel though, too? And I'm definitely a victim.
We need another John F. Kennedy.
When I got out of the military, I felt as though when I got out of the military, I felt as though the world or somebody owed me something. You know what I'm saying? And that probably, you know, was one of the things that hindered my progress as far as succeeding and doing the things that I wanted to do, because I was always under this impression that I did such and such an army, you know, where's the world at? They should be having that, you know.
But that's the thing, though.
Things are different now, you know.
That's the spirit. You know what I'm saying? It's not your spirit gets shot down. Like, yo, what the? I should be a hero. I'm a soldier.
I understand that, too. But at the same time, one thing that the military has prepared us for is that things do change. And if there's one thing you have to be, is you have to be flexible and be willing to adapt. You know what I'm saying? Because not everything is going to go according to plan. So, you know, right now, like, I mean, oh, when I got out or whatever, you know, just you have the whole idea of a recession and jobs are not really out there. And maybe, you know, these agencies are trying to hire veterans and whatnot. But as an individual ourselves, we have to go that extra mile. Maybe so much short as though we shouldn't, but at the same time, we have to.
This government should be able to plan that. Like, when they knew the Barclays Center was getting ready to get built, they should have been like, all right, let's get about, call up about 7,000 soldiers that just came home and get them over here. You know what I'm saying? They can do it.
Construction skills.
They got construction skills going on. You don't think they're starting a big-ass project in New Jersey on some Gotham's bridge? They're redoing a whole new bridge. Yeah, they're going to work guys that already been doing bridge work and stuff. But, shit, when you got just enough skills, and you could be taught probably in a couple of days what the hell they doing.
That would be a beautiful thing. That would be a beautiful thing for people.
Yeah,
You know, if you was a MA, Math at Arms in the Navy, or then you should be able to almost like transition into the police force.
Without a problem.
Boot camp and everything, but it should be like you should just move right in. Then you should be able to transition right over into like the engineer department, you know, at some construction company. You should be able to transition over.
That would make
America a lot more beautiful and a lot more better.
What you're saying is the problem, Pete?
The problem starts from the recruiter selling us and teenagers mainly this dream, and then it ends with the people that work at the ACAP and buildings that don't prepare these soldiers that are coming back from Iraq, or just people that's getting out of the military for life after the, you know what I'm saying?
I have to say this because when I got out the military, you know, there were programs out there preparing me for life back in the civilian world. I went to classes before I came out the military. They took me off the ship, brought me back to the States, and they had me go through like a month and a half long program of transitioning back to.
Clarify. You were in the military full time, and now you're reserved.
I was full time active, and I transitioned back into civilian life. And they prepared me. They showed me how to prepare. Good gravy.
You want a jelly sandwich?
Yeah, that also. They showed me how to write up a resume for the job that I wanted. They showed me how to write up a resume.
But my thing is, is it commonly known, is it a common thing? Do they put it out there? Do they offer this something like, hey, if they know like, hey, Pierre, we know you got 30 days left, 2 months left, and going forward.
I would have to say yes, but you have to be willing to take that. You have to be willing to take it, though.
This is the thing, though.
Because a lot of people don't take it. Some people just come straight on out.
But it's different, though, because, and this is one of the things I was telling Byron about while I was so, you know, hoping that pushing him to, you know, do the show, is that there's a difference between, you know what I'm saying, in the when it comes to jobs, like there's a difference between when you're in a combat MOS, like me where I was in the entry, versus somebody that's, you know, in the Army, and they might be not trying to put anybody down, and maybe, you know, or a mechanic or something, because with me and with my unit, they had me doing training versus time, you know, when I could have been going to ACAP classes doing this and that, trying to prepare myself for transition into civilian life. Swimming and going out to the field until damn near, excuse my language, until the day I was leaving.
Wow.
I don't know if that still goes on, if that was something that was just with the unit or, you know, just bad scheduling, whatever. That's the difference, and that's the point, one of the main points I wanted to get across tonight, is that there's a difference between a combat MOS and a MOS in, when it comes to different branches in the Army. A totally different outlook of life in the military.
Yeah. See, you're absolutely right. With the combat MOS, it's a little bit harder to transition, I guess, because of, you know, what you were doing in the military, you know, after putting that into a civilian. You know, police force, you know, that would, you know, you could go into that, could have, you know, but I hear what you're saying. You know, I don't know, even like working at like a gun shop, I don't know, Smith and Wesson.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
we really have to be more in support of our soldiers. Like, it doesn't matter. We have to be more in support, and the whole thing is we also have to be sensitive and aware, you know, of their feelings, because not all, like, you know, you have some people that go against the grain. And you have some people that just go with the flow because they have to. And you may have some soldiers that don't agree with the ideals and the ideologies of their superiors, but they do what they have to do. And I give a big respect to them, because they are the ones who's really making even more of a sacrifice, because they're just willing to answer the call. They're making a sacrifice just to answer the call. You know what I'm saying? Like, they get that call and they're like, well, I may not agree with it, but I gotta do what I gotta do. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, what can you really say to that? Exactly.
Oh, man.
That's what you do.
I'm still answering the call, you know?
No doubt. I mean, and that's why I'm saying it's really something that we really have to think about. When these soldiers get deployed, when they're going out there and they're away from their families, I mean, like I said, it's a sacrifice beyond sacrifice.
It is. It does take a toll, you know.
Yeah.
It does take a toll, because when you're over there and you're trying to do a job, and when all, like a lot of times, you know, you find yourself, you just reverting back to, you know, thinking about the family, thinking about what's going back on at home, you know. It kind of makes you, like, a little bit uneasy, especially if you, like, you know, there's a lot of times where, you know, soldiers and you know, they have their significant other back at home. They didn't leave on the best of terms.
Is that what you mean for me?
going into your bank account, or taking this from you, taking that from you.
What'd you say?
No, I understand exactly what he's talking about, and I used to see a lot of soldiers have to deal with that, you know what I'm saying, overseas. So what I used to do, I used to break up with girls. Any girl I was with, before I said, yo, it's over, because the last thing I need is to have you on my mind and learn about what you're doing and what, you know what, I'll see you when I get back. I'm not dealing with that.
Yeah, that's what some guys do, you know. They, yo, I had to cut her off, you know. I was, you know, some guys can do that. Just, yo, I'm doing me, she's doing her. When we get back, boom, bada, bing. But then you got some couples, you know, you got some guys where it's like, oh, I think she's going to cheat on me. But they, yo, they kind of lose it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they still have to do their military job because that comes first. So they get kind of, you know, pulled, you know, this way and that way. So for them, it's very hard. And a lot of people don't know that and don't see that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just
especially
makes
the ones with kids.
Hard.
Especially the ones with kids.
When it comes down to kids, like, bro, sky's the limit, man. Because a lot of people are very much attached to their kids and just being away from them.
Some of them weren't able to even go see the child being born.
Well, yeah, of course, man. Damn.
You know, depending on the timing, and you know, you have to be married. God forbid if you didn't get married before you deployed or
whatnot.
Yeah,
they don't get the benefits.
They wouldn't even care. In their eyes, it was just some chick you met or had sex and she ended up pregnant.
Well, true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Left them while they were in the damn military. Oh man, that's the worst. They over there breaking up.
Yeah.
That's the and worst. Then you have the whole idea with the military, the whole
stock market. I mean, it happened with my second fiance. You know, I didn't see her for almost like a year and a half, or maybe even longer than that. And there was one time between a year, I only saw her for like 2 weeks.
Damn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I knew this. I knew it was about to fall out. I knew it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I knew it.
That's a sacrifice.
It is, you know, but that's some of the pros and cons of being in the military. I mean, you know, sometimes you just cannot always have your bread and butter. But I tell you what I've been through, I wouldn't change it for the world.
Mm-hmm. Like, one is, you know, and I put a lot of thought into this.
Say that again.
No, I'm saying one of the things too. I caught a lot of practice. One of the best things that could have happened to me was me getting stop loss, and I say that because, well, Biden probably doesn't know what the stop loss is. The stop loss is when the military involuntarily extends your contract.
Oh,
so
okay.
What happened to me is I signed a 3-year contract, and the day I was getting out, May 10th, I was already going through ACAP, and I'm turning in all my equipment and whatnot. I'm already calling my family, like, Mom, I'm coming home. You know, I'll be there in a little bit, blase. And so they implemented a stop loss, and just because I didn't ship my household goods, it was me and 3 other people that were supposed to leave that day. Everybody else, they shipped their household goods, but since I was stationed in Fort Drum, New York, I lived so close, I wasn't going to take myself with me on the train. And so because I didn't ship myself, I was in stop loss and I was involuntarily extended and had to go to Iraq.
Wow.
And, you know, and so what happened is, well, what came a problem for me was not so much the fact that I had to stay, because like I said, you know, it is what it is. Like, you know, I can deal with it, but it was telling my family and knowing that they had to go through that whole idea of me not coming home that day and I had to deploy to Iraq. That was more troublesome than anything.
Now that I can't even fathom, because I have not been put in that type of situation, not exactly, but see, I could really understand what you were saying about that, because you're at the end of your contract, you think you're coming home, you're like, yes, I'm done, and all of a sudden, it's like you are being thrown back into the fray.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, and that's
I
the thing, that's
understand what you're saying about that, man. That
whole stop loss thing, even though it was kind of new, like they never really had to do that, that stuff that's inside that fine print of that long list of papers that you signed when you're 18, 19, however how old, that you probably just skimmed through, you know what I'm saying, in the midst of just signing a bunch of forms. But it does say that you are obligated to the military for 8 years.
Yeah.
And so I had to just swallow that pill and take it.
Wow.
But, you know, going back to the whole part of the whole age happening thing and not soldiers not being prepared to take on civilian life, you know, I knew that, you know, in hindsight, that it was a blessing in disguise because I wasn't ready to, I didn't have a plan when I got out.
Okay, okay. All right, so, okay. Yeah,
so,
I mean,
you know, that extra year and a half that I spent in the military gave me some time to think about, okay, I need to make this move, that move, and do that. But, you know, that's just a little story. I'm sorry if I'm talking so much.
No, I mean, that's all good, man.
I mean, we all was out here going to Job Corps, and everybody at Job Corps was rolling dice, you know what I mean, smoking weed, drinking. Like, damn, I thought we was coming up here to do work.
Yes, you were. You're perfecting your sipping skills.
There are a lot of young brothers out here that, you know what I'm saying, should consider, you know what I mean, going into the military. You know what I mean, they should make it 16 years old because, you know what, 18, they start making decisions. They start, you know, decisions now, 13, 14-year-olds making life-changing decisions. So you might as well just
get them off the streets.
Yeah, get them off the streets at 15. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter. So just get them off, you know what I mean? Because it's better. You know what I mean? Start training them well. You know what I'm saying? Start putting positive things in their minds and start putting them on a regimen to support their country.
I would say put them in a military school.
Yeah, definitely.
Go back a few more topics. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, we got the crack babies. Got babies out here now that's like teenagers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So those are the ones that need some direction.
They in their 20s. The crack babies are in their 20s now.
Yeah, they're 20s. You know what I'm saying? So we got to, you know, and they're about having babies. So it's like, you know, it's getting out of control.
Yeah.
And you
know what first of all, I mean, let's not get it twisted. You just can't throw anybody and everybody in the military and be like, well, look, it's a good opportunity. You have to have...
You got to get them young, though. You get them young, you could, you know what I'm saying, you could do it. I guess you got to have good recruiters.
You got to have good recruiters, and also you got to have good people that can learn and are willing to learn and can understand and have the academic aptitude to be in the military.
Yo, I bet you if the military just rolled up to Edgemere and they rolled up to the back of Edgemere by the park and they just set up a whole military They just set up a whole military workout center. It'd be like police academy. You know what I'm saying? Everybody and their mother could come over there and run up on this, pull up on these ropes and run up around this thing and do this and that. You're gonna tell me that athletic teenage kids that ain't got nothing to do all day but go to the park to play ball or, you know what I mean, chill around the projects, ain't going to go over and start doing shit. They get encouraged by that, you know what I mean? Cause
they would do it. Yeah.
You know, hand out leaflets about joining the military and all its benefits. You have some positive young brothers out there that's going to be like, you know what, I know I ain't going to get nowhere out here.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
You are absolutely right. You're absolutely right about that. You would literally change people's lives.
You make it and you make it like real, you know what I'm saying, strong, American, patriotic. At the same time, you make it real tough, and you built for this? You handle this? Can you run up this shit 100 times back and forth? You know what I'm saying? And then you sit them down, and then you talk about the mental shit. You go into a physical first, and then you hit them.
Get out the mental.
What you want to be when you get older? You want to join the military and study? What you want to do with your life? You going to have kids? You got a girl now? What you want to do? You want to see things? You want to go places? You want to defend your country?
Yeah.
You want to learn to train? You know what I mean? Hey, all it is a yes or no after all that, and they're going to change it. Most likely you're going to have a 90%, you know what I'm saying, ratio on that.
I think so.
But you know what the thing is, too? And, you know, with Byron saying that he thinks the age should be younger, maybe I was just dumb or whatnot when I joined at 18. The thing is, you as a teenager, you're not going to be able to comprehend the stuff that you are agreeing to. You know what I'm saying? Like,
so you handed them the light.
Like, when I joined, I just, you know, I was just crazy. And I was like, you know, I was like, yeah, you know, what's the infantry? He was like, yeah, they're going to teach you how to kill people. All right, I'm in. All right, cool, what up? But you understand that there's a whole bunch of, there's another element to just that.
Right.
You know, they sell you on the glitz and glamour, but they don't tell you about, you know, they tell you the good stuff, but they don't tell you the bad stuff. That's why I think it really starts with the recruiter and it ends with the people in the ACAP and services. You know? And I think it'll be hard for people who are 16, 17, 18 year old to really comprehend what they're getting themselves into. Do I think it's a good idea? I really do think it's a good idea for people to join the military, but at the same time, they need to be able to understand what they are actually signing up for. And I think it's a big stigma today, you know, with Iraq and Afghanistan and everything, that people think that just because they join the military, they're going to be fighting and killing people. No, that's not necessarily what's going to happen. What happens, what I, you know, and I could be wrong, is that the MOS that you sign up for, that's exactly what you're going to be doing. Like, somebody that signed up to be a cook, when they're in America, they're going to be cooking. When they go overseas, they're going to be cooking. The people that sign up to fix vehicles, that's the same thing they're going to be doing. The people that sign up to kill people and do a lot of extra stuff, that's exactly what they're going to be doing.
Yeah, that's what I did when I first joined, though, because I told them I wanted to, you know, mess with aircraft. I wanted to fix aircraft. I wanted to work on jet engines. You know, and they sent me to school for it after boot camp. They sent me to school to learn how to fix engines. And that's what I did while I was in the military on active duty. You know? Now I'm working at JFK.
Yeah, that's why I think, you know what I mean, it's a good sacrifice. You know what I mean? I commend you, brothers, you know what I'm saying? That's what's up. Because all along the way, if something was to happen, you know what I'm saying, y'all were going to be there to, you know what I'm saying, contribute, you know what I mean, and that's what's up.
And I mean, some people join the military in a time of peace, hoping that nothing ever happens because they want to get whatever benefits they can get, you know, out of the military. And it's all good, but you got to remember, along the line, it's like you're going to have to make a sacrifice one way or another. And
just either way, you join the military. It's going to be a sacrifice one way or another. You're going to give up something.
Mm-hmm.
But in the process, you can gain so much more.
Yeah, that's true. But you know what it is, too? I don't think, and this goes back to the whole teenager joining the military from 16, 17, 18, they don't understand what it means to have their freedom taken away from them.
No,
they don't understand what it means to do, you know what, you're going to eat when I tell you to eat, you're going to go to sleep when I, you're going to do exactly what I don't think at that age you can really comprehend what that means.
No, and that's why I believe that, you know, first, maybe, you know, for there should be like a military school, an academic school, you know, like, well, let's see if this is what you do. You really know what you're getting yourself into. But it should be up to the recruiters to tell people that. But I would say that they really can't, because they would lose a lot of potential people that way.
Yeah,
but,
and they have quotas too, don't they? Have they?
Yes,
from what
they
I hear,
have
they have quotas. Just like,
yeah,
you know, when you guys talk about cops, and they have quotas to meet.
Yeah.
That's not right. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't pressure someone to go out there to recruit a certain amount of people and convince them to do what is just called.
Because there's a certain number that has to be met by the military, because people get out for different reasons. So they have to, positions have to be filled. So they have to build. So they have to keep these potential positions filled with people. So if they have to do one person a month, okay, cool. That's a quota, one person a month. All right, fine. If they got to get, because truthfully, they might have to get 10 people. They might have a quota for 10 people just to get one person in. They might have to have 10 people just to make it all the way through boot camp, because not everybody makes it through boot camp.
True.
You know,
and
I'm sure when it comes
to these recruiters, let's just say if their quota's not met, this is their career. This is not like a cop, a thing where you can just quit. You're signed up. This is what you're going to be doing until your contract is up. So if you don't meet quotas, you can be looked on as a bad soldier, just somebody that doesn't meet our standards, and then
this is your job, this is what you were supposed to be doing, you have not met your quota. You have not met, I mean, but hey, there's pros and cons. I mean, you know, the military gave you a job and you didn't live up to it. It's not like, you know, it's not like out here, you know, it's totally different in there, you know.
Sure.
If they give you a job, the military gives you a job to do, they want you to do it. They expect you to fulfill it. So if you're a recruiter and your quota was this many people for the month, they expect you to fill that quota.
And then what do you do as a recruiter? Do you try to omit some stuff when you recruit somebody? Do you not tell them? Do you tell them more of the good stuff? And less of the bad stuff, like,
you tell them what they want to hear without lying to them. That's what you do. That's what a recruiter should do. You tell the person what they want to hear without lying to them.
Sounds like some mindfuckery to me, but
mind
blankery. I wouldn't call it that. I would just call it
See, but for instance, when I signed up, I got a $3,000 signing bonus, and I wasn't, the recruiter didn't tell me I was going to get taxed.
That brings people in too, you know, the signing bonus, depending on the MOS and everything. It's a tactic, and like I said, certain positions need to be filled, so certain positions will come with a bonus. Hey, we need people for this. Because sometimes certain quotas are overmanned and overfilled, and then other quotas they need people for, they're not getting manned. So, you know, they have to put an incentive. They give you an incentive of money. Hey, if you become this, we give you this type of bonus. It's an incentive.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'm sorry, but it's the way of the world, bro.
My thing is this. Before, you know, we got about 2 minutes left. Once again, I just want to say thank you to everybody that that has passed on for the sake of their beliefs in terms of country and for their family, and for all the, once again, the active, the retired, the non-active people who have stepped up to the plate. Your efforts, your works will always be remembered by people of a higher intelligence that care. Thanks, Brother Mo, who kind of dropped out of the call, but thanks, Brother Mo, chiming in, Mr. Pierre, and Brother L. Thanks.
Yes,
again,
sir.
And we'll be back next Thursday when we get into the big R with relationships, and hopefully you ladies will be chiming in and stepping in as well on that.
Oh, heaven.
So on that note, good night, everybody. God bless, and be well. Another episode of Menu in the Can.
Peace. All right, man. God bless you.
All right.
And thank you to all the military members. out there in the world that are serving, I thank you for your time and sacrifice, and God bless.
No doubt. Mr. Menu, we out.
Whee!
And that's that.